We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Running a little late, but a lot going on, man. A lot going on in the NFL. I want to get to this now because I know I've been teasing it all show. We sent out the push notification. If you're listening to The Ticket, 790 The Ticket is giving you a chance to win the new Nest Audio from Google. Text the keyword DELIVER to 20357. DELIVER to 20357 for your chance to win. Get the latest sports news with The Ticket with a little help from Google. Just say, hey, Google, play 790 The Ticket. Your chances to win is now. Your chance to win is now. Text DELIVER, DELIVER, to 20357. Message and data rates may apply. Man, Crowder, I was just looking at that hit again by a former Gator. Your boy, what's his name? Bostic.
Bostic was a beast in Florida, man. I love watching Bostic play, but to be honest, that's how, the way he played his whole life. He got he got targeting stuff in college as well. So, bro,
it's a bad hit on Andy Dalton, dude. That was rough though. Like that was one of those where a lot of times you see the targeting penalties. Like, it's been happening to UM. And
Amari Carter again. Gets kicked out of every game. Every game he's gonna get kicked out of.
First play, we forgot to talk to Tom DeAngelo about that. First play, yes. Gets kicked out again. You see it, and some of the calls are iffy, especially in college football, by ACC refs, and even in the NFL though, like some of them are kind of just bang bang, and at times the player's trying to keep his leverage, doesn't, and he ends up hitting the offensive player in the head, but. That one by Bostic, that was clear. Like, that was probably one of the most clear ones I've seen.
Oh, bro. Even my defensive mind frame and my football, the wussification and all that stuff, bro, it's Andy Dalton. It's not Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a dog. Even a Fitzy. Fitzy will lower his shoulder. If Fitzy was to lower his shoulder, then you can hit him back like that because he's coming forward. Bostic knew Andy Dalton wasn't about to lower his shoulder. Bostic just plays out of control. And those are the guys that I actually talked about that we've joked in the past. Like, I couldn't play in this NFL. Zach Thomas couldn't play in this NFL. Joey Porter couldn't play in this NFL because of the fact that how we were taught to play the game. Where Bostic, at his level now, with how long he's been in the league, he's been in the league like 4 years. He should understand you're not allowed to hit a quarterback like that. So, I will put that 100% on the Gator. And if they suspend him, which I would be – if we had to sign a petition, I would be on the side of signing a petition that Boston gets suspended for that hit because that's not where the league is right now. It's crazy to say. I know a lunatic played out of control, kamikaze. This is a different time. This is 2020.
Yeah, I did see a report, though, that they don't expect him to receive any sort of suspension. I'm sure there'll be a fine, but – but I agree with you. Like, if you are gonna suspend a player, like that's got to be the hit. And Andy Dalton's gonna miss time. He's probably gonna be out 1 to 2 weeks at the very least. Which kind of leads me to my next question for you, Crowder. I saw this on CBSSports.com. Three trade targets worth considering with QB status is up in the air, and it's pretty much all for the Dallas Cowboys. We know Dak Prescott's out. Now Andy Dalton, he seems to be dealing with some CTE after that hit by Bostic. And the first name that comes up, do you want to guess what the first name is?
Oh, Fitzy.
Yep.
Bro, he just, Fitzy just scored 67 points in the last 2 weeks against the 49ers and the Jets. Yes, Fitzy is going to be a coveted quarterback name in the NFL. What's going on right now? I understand that.
And we'll talk to Alan Pupar of Sports Illustrated coming up in a few minutes. He wrote an article very similarly to what I'm reading to you right now. But here's what the article on CBS Sports says. It says, it makes too much sense if the bare minimum is competence that's going to win you the NFC East, which right now that it looks like it because the Eagles are atop of that division and they only have 2 wins. And if the Cowboys are still serious about doing that, Ryan Fitzpatrick is their guy. And their potential trade compensation, so they kind of put down a possible trade between the Dolphins and the Cowboys, they write a 2022 fifth-round draft pick.
Nope, not enough.
Agreed.
It's not enough. They're desperate. The whole thing about trades is finding something desperate. The Dallas Cowboys are desperate. Dak Prescott, we saw his ankle bone pop out of his leg. Like, yes, he's not playing anymore, and Andy Dalton just got his damn head destroyed and helmet knocked off. If you're desperate to try to win the NFC East, which is terrible, you're not going to win a Super Bowl because we've seen that you get beat by teams that are decent and not good. But if you find a team that's desperate, that's when you trade. If you give me a third-round pick or higher, you can have Fitzy. If not, he's staying on our team. If I was Chris Greer, that would be my point. Third or better, you get him. If not, go to hell. I would tell every team in the league that.
You tell him go to hell? You just tell go to hell.
Well, I would tell him, but I don't know how it really goes because I've never been a GM or scout or I've never really had an important job with the NFL other than middle linebacker, and we're not important. We get replaced every single day. So I would tell him to go to hell, Solana. I don't know if Chris Greer would tell him to go to hell.
I do like the idea, though, where Chris Greer is just feeling himself now. Tua's about to start. The Dolphins are 3-3. They look better than they've looked probably in 2 decades. Chris Greer is just feeling himself, just telling the team, yeah, go to hell. All of you, go to hell.
I know Chris. Chris is my dude. Chris came actually in 2000 and what was that? That would be 2004. Chris came to Gainesville. He was a regional scout and came and worked me out and had me do some questionnaire or some silly ass thing about what I think about life. And if it was 4 cats in a room and 6 rats and 2 dogs, who would I take out the room first? One of those silly ass interviews. But Chris Greer actually recruited me to come to the Dolphins when he was a regional scout for the Dolphins. And me and Greer are friends to this day. But yeah, Chris ain't made like that. But to the point of knowing that you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is a 3-3, 500, and he's going to be 500 his whole life. And this is the transitional point I'm going to make, and this is the point why you keep him. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have great games and down games, great runs and down runs. So if the Dallas Cowboys want to have that Fitzpatrick, then you make them pay for it. You've already given him. He signed a 2-year, $11 million deal, $5.5 million a year. You can keep Fitzy for $5.5 million this year, and that's what he's under, and he's on a lame duck deal, no extension, just in case something happens with Tua. But if somebody is that interested in him, make him pay for him. Don't give him a fifth or a fourth pick for Fitzy. Make him go up to a third or better. I'm locked into this because I saw when they benched Fitzy, I knew what was about to happen, and I thought about it. I would not give up Fitzy if this pick is not a third round pick or better. I wouldn't even talk to the team.
100% agree. We'll talk to Alan Pupar about that coming up shortly from Sports Illustrated. Let's get the headlines with Dan Day.
These headlines are from the Modelo Especial Sports Desk. Monday Night Football tonight will feature the Rams and the Bears at 8:15.
You interested, Crowder?
Yeah. Yes, I am very interested. Because I want to watch now. I'm evaluating to see what Tua is going to go against in his first start, because that's our whole talk when I do all the pregames and all. And also to see what the Bears really are. You know what I'm saying? To see both sides of it. I don't know what the Bears are because they benched Mitch Trubisky after 3-0, and then they're losing a couple games, and then but they do have talent. Like, yes, I'm very interested in this game tonight.
Rams favored 6-point favorites tonight at home against the Bears. The Bears are 5-1 and they're 3-0 away, by the way.
And to be honest, I wouldn't mind if the Rams have a couple guys go down. What'd you say, Solana? Did you say a couple guys go down?
Are you talking on the defensive side of the football?
What did you say? Huh? Did you say that?
Maybe one big, big guy. Nasty dude.
I don't want nobody to get no real injuries, but maybe, you know, maybe a sprained ankle for Jalen Ramsey or, you know, a little sprained wrist for a guy named Aaron Donald. I wouldn't be upset tonight if, you know, maybe it goes off the rails.
Anything else, Dan?
Manny Diaz has hinted that some of the players that did not play for the Canes this past Saturday when they took on Virginia may have been on the bench because of COVID concerns. Nonetheless, Miami did beat the Cavaliers 19-14.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Like, I think it was six freshmen that didn't get to suit up for this game. I'm not certain all of them had COVID, but I mean, it's pretty obvious if they're just out of nowhere, just taken out from the depth chart. What's happening? It's the times, right, Crowder? Like we know it's going to happen, especially with college. So many players, young guys. It's harder to keep them in check.
Oh yeah, and when I see kids from 16 to 20, I when I see them, they transform into petri dishes. All I see is a bunch of petri dishes running around, and I don't want to be around y'all. Where's my mask? Where's my sanitizer? I'm with you.
Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, Miami has got an off week, so those guys can try to get healthy, and they're going to be playing NC State on a Friday game, November 6th.
Yep, they get a couple days off, for sure.
You're a young guy on UM's team, right? You just got recruited. You just got on the team. You just got the Coral Gables. Y'all are top 10 in the – what are they now, 11? Are they still 11?
No, they actually dropped. They dropped from 11 to 12.
So you're 12 in the nation. There's a lot of attention that you're getting. And your name means something in Coral Gables. I'm always down in Coral Gables, always down that way. My wife's from down there. You know, we have some investment properties down there. I understand how it is. It's going to be tough for an 18-year-old just to sit in his dorm room. I got to let y'all know what's going on. Like, I couldn't sit in my dorm room if I was top 25 in the nation and I played a little bit and now the girls are talking about, hey, John, hey, baby, how you doing? Let me just explain to y'all that those hormones don't stop because COVID's here. I think that's the biggest fear with collegiate athletics. That means you put it out there.
Not only that, Crowder, it's not like how it was in June and July here in South Florida where everything's closed. So at the very least, you could make the argument, well, you know, where are you guys going, right? Like you're just going to other people's dorms or whatever. You just stay in your own dorm. There's nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Everything's closed. All the restaurants, all the bars are closed. That's not the case anymore. Everything's open. So the incentive for these kids to go out is even greater because – you're in Miami, and everything's open again, and you've been locked up for 6 months, and you're tired of being locked up for 6 months. Like, I get it. I'm not condoning it, but I get it.
And then y'all believe in making out. Y'all explain that to me. Yeah. Y'all like making out. I don't know what making out means, but we want to make out. Then that's the opposite. I would say the opposite of social distancing is making out.
True.
It's, you know, it's no inches. It's no 6 feet of social distancing. Making out is no feet, 0 feet. So, I think that's the problem, too.
Nothing better than just going to a party, getting a good little makeout right before you leave.
Just kiss somebody in the mouth and go home and go to bed. Just kiss somebody in the mouth and then go home and go to sleep. That's a good night.
Yeah, that's like the best night I can think of, little makeout sesh at the end of the night. Yeah.
What about a makeout follow up, like the extension of makeout?
I don't want to talk. No, I just don't even think about the
secondary action of makeout. You know how let's say making out is running the ball. So kissing somebody in the mouth, Solana, is
Did I break up there, Dan, or is that Crowder?
I think Crowder was trying to make a point, and he just dropped out.
get to weather because we're already late. Let the way we can get Crowder back on the Zoom or whatever.
Yeah, Exergen Weather Center. It has a slight chance of rain in South Florida and temperatures in the low 80s. Headline sponsored by Modelo Especial, the perfect beer for your home tailgate. Modelo Especial, a beer brewed with the fighting spirit.
Hopefully we'll get Crowder back on the line. Coming up next, we're going to continue this conversation with Alan Pupar. We were just talking about potential trades, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know there are a lot of people predicting that he'll end up in Dallas now that Andy Dalton is out. And we'll continue that conversation next with Alan Pupar here on Hawk and Crowder. If you missed it last segment, you're going to get another chance here on the Hawk and Crowder Show to win the new Nest Audio from Google that's coming up next segment. So you want to make sure you stay tuned. I'll give you a code word, you'll text a number, and you'll have a chance to win the new Nest Audio from Google. We're going to talk about the Miami Dolphins here in just a second with Alan Pupar of Sports Illustrated. Speaking of the Dolphins, though, the Joe wants you to see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to fincu.com, F-I-N-S-C-U.com. Want a chance to win those Dolphins tickets? Log on right now to WQAM.com, the home of the Miami Dolphins. 560 AM, FM 96.5 HD2, the Joe, WQAM, streaming on radio.com. We were talking about it last segment, the idea of perhaps the Dolphins dealing Ryan Fitzpatrick ahead of the trade deadline here in the NFL. We got Tua Tagovailoa starting his first NFL game this Sunday. Let's talk to Alan Pupar, publisher of All Dolphins for Sports Illustrated, and he's been covering the team for years. I know, Crowder, you mentioned you've known Alan Pupar for quite some time.
And my doo-doo.
You can follow him on Twitter at apuparfins, that's F-I-N-S. And he joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man? So let's just get to it. Is the idea of trading Ryan Fitzpatrick an actual possibility now that the Miami Dolphins have decided the Tua era has begun?
Oh, if somebody's bold enough to offer a very high pick, I don't see why you wouldn't make the trade. Look, I mean, the Dolphins made the move to Tua Tagovailoa, and I don't care what anybody would say, with the future in mind, this wasn't about the 2020 season. So the move has been made, the door has been opened, and Tua has been let in. So if a team that really is desperate for a quarterback calls the Dolphins and decides, you know what, we'll throw you like a fairly high pick because we really, really want a quarterback to take us through the rest of the season, I think the Dolphins would be crazy not to listen to it. Now, having said that, not totally sure that any team's going to offer necessarily a premium pick for a 37-year-old quarterback who's going to be 38 in a couple of weeks.
And to that point where, like you said, Tua's just getting in the game, Alan. Like, Tua, they wanted Tua. I think they were waiting for the bye week, which is supposed to be week 10. I think they moved it back, starting Tua, because the NFL moved it back with this COVID season. Do you anticipate ever seeing Fitzpatrick again if Tua doesn't get hurt?
No. It would have to be something, like, terrible. And if that happens, then what does it mean moving forward? Fitzpatrick himself last week said this isn't a temporary move. I mean, you picked the guy fifth overall for a reason. So the move has been made, and if it turns out that Tagovailoa struggles like on a consistent basis, then at some point you have to start thinking, okay, what do we need to do next spring? Because now the Dolphins are going to have the two first-round picks, including one that right now is looking like it's going to be very high, and that's the one that belongs to Houston.
Yes, and I 100% agree with you, man. You my dude. Say it, Solana. Now, don't give Alan a hard time. That's my man. He knows what he's talking about. But Alan, what are you evaluating? Not big picture, just you. What are you evaluating Tua on? Is it percentage, completion percentage? Is it touchdowns? Is it wins? Is it losses? Like, what do you need to see out of Tua this year to know that number five pick in the draft last year was a successful pick? What are you evaluating Tua on?
I think a combination of everything. If you go accuracy, he's going to be accurate because that's what he's done in his career. But is he going to be accurate down the field? Is he going to get the offense into the end zone? Those are a couple of factors. And how is he going to run the offense? Does a Dolphin offense look like it's an offense that can be potentially dangerous for years to come based on what we see the rest of this season? And I'm getting the feeling, based on what you just said, that that Solana is one of those who thinks it's a slam dunk to set it straight for the Hall of Fame. I actually want to see it first.
Yes.
No, I don't need to see it.
Am I right on that one?
Yeah,
yes,
I don't need,
look at
I don't need
listen,
to see
listen
it.
Listen, listen now.
I don't need to see it. Just put him in Canton. Put him in Canton. But to follow up on that, we had Brady Quinn on a couple weeks ago, and it was after, I think it was the game where the Dolphins lost to Seattle. And, you know, the conversation about Tua was, when is it time, right? The Dolphins at that point were 1-3, and Fitzpatrick wasn't necessarily, you know, playing as well as he had played in the two following weeks. And Brady Quinn said something interesting. He said that Flores has to be careful when he inserts Tua because Fitzpatrick has the respect of that locker room. And, you know, the players love him so much that, you know, Flores could lose the locker room if he goes to Tua too quickly. So my question to you is, if Tua, maybe not necessarily this week, but the first couple weeks that he starts, doesn't play well, do you think that's a possibility where this team is going to look around and say, hey, we were 3-3, now maybe, you know, maybe they're 3-5 or they're 4-4. What the hell happened? Like, we had a chance this season to win the AFC East with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Here's the thing, though, is look at the makeup of the roster. On this roster, there's only one player who's over 30 years old, and guess what? It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everybody else is under 30, so I don't think that's going to be quite as much of an issue as it might be on a different team. And point number two I would make about that is I think the players have totally bought into what Brian Flores is selling. I think he's built up a lot of equity, if for no other reason than them being able to squeeze out 5 wins last year out of a roster that really was not very good. So I think that everybody has really bought into the program, and I'm sure he's explained to them that, look, this is a move that we needed to make as an organization. We understand Fitzpatrick was playing well. We understand everybody loves Fitz. But trust us when we tell you this is what we needed to do for the long-term health of the franchise, and hopefully all of you guys here in this locker room are going to be along for the ride.
I'm with you. And it makes perfect sense to me. But I would ask you, bro, like Parker and Williams, Preston came, you know, he got into his own the last 2 weeks, 49ers-Jets game. You know, he was getting early shots. He was getting a lot of targets. And Devontae did his thing too. So Preston and Devontae on the outside. But do you expect that Gesicki, Gaskin, Breida, that they are more involved having a young quarterback? You know, those running backs and tight ends, they're closer to the line. They're easier throws. Do you anticipate that this offense – we just talked about it, though, Alan. Like, do you anticipate this offense pulls back a little bit and start throwing some more shorter routes, that you have a young quarterback? Or do you expect that Tua can continue to throw to Parker and Williams on the outside, continue to build that continuity with that Z and that X receiver?
I would certainly expect a lot more passes to the backs and to the tight ends. As far as the wide receivers are concerned, what was one of the best throws that Tua consistently made at Alabama was the quick slant where he could get his receivers in stride and then get them going with a head of steam. So I would expect you could see a lot of those passes on both sides to Parker and Williams on both sides. And then you're going to see a whole lot of like rollouts, short passes, bubble screens, and that kind of stuff. What I don't expect you're going to see that you saw a whole lot at Alabama, and I know this is going to break Solana's heart, is those big shots down the field, first of all, because he doesn't have four first-round picks at wide receiver like he did at Alabama, and he also doesn't have an offensive line that's full of first-round picks and All-Americans.
He's Alan Pupar. Alan will celebrate Tua in the Hall of Fame in a couple decades, all right?
Alan, you can't knock him off his point, bro.
Already, right?
Yeah.
He's already done it.
Yeah. You and me, we'll go to Canton together. Sound good?
Sound like a plan. You already have your reservations, right?
Yeah. It's already booked. Don't worry. On me. Everything's on me. He's Alan Pupar, publisher of All Dolphins for Sports Illustrated. He's been covering the team for years. Thank you so much, Alan. We appreciate it. Good to talk to you again.
Right back at you anytime, bud.
Thank you.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready for the Hall of Fame chance. You know, if Tua wins Sunday, that conversation is, I mean, like, it's here, Crowder.
It's
I can't
not Hall
wait.
Of Fame chance,
wait.
Though.
It's there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You think if we beat the Rams, we're going to have a Hall of Fame conversation on Monday?
If Tua throws 4 touchdowns, 400 yards?
Bro, your excitement is invigorating. I'm not going to lie. Like, as an old man, like, I love the excitement. But goodness gracious. Hall of Fame? What is he, 28 for 38, three touchdowns, you know, maybe one interception, 25 yards rushing, Hall of Fame talks.
He's 2 of 2, 100% so far passing, hasn't incompleted the pass yet, hasn't thrown an incompletion in the NFL. I'm ready for Tua to take over this town, to take over the NFL. And I don't think I'm being cocky or a homer. Like, bro, this guy was going to be the number one overall pick. Every expert before his hip injury had him as one of the best college quarterbacks of all time. So it's not like we drafted Ryan Tannehill 8th overall because he happened to settle for there. We settled for Ryan Tannehill in 2012, and I'm talking him up just to be a big head. No, Tua was expected to be great. I expect him to be great starting on Sunday, his first start.
I'm with you. I guess my energy's not there. I guess I'm not, you know, saying you're a young, invigorating guy, and you have all this, you know, excitement in you. Yeah, I'm an old soul, baby. I've seen what happened. So if he goes out, what numbers? Well, okay, because he's not going to go 25 for 25.
No.
I asked Alan this, and I've asked somebody else earlier, whoever we had it. What are you looking at from Tua? What is going to make you excited from Tua? Touchdowns, interceptions, completion percentage. What is going to put you in the mode that you're already waiting to get in? What's going to put you there?
Okay, well, I'll look at it this way. In Burrow's first start versus the Chargers, he went 193 yards, 0 touchdowns and interception. His passer rating was 66. Completion percentage was 63. It's got to be better than that. So we'll set the bar that low. It's got to be better than that.
My guarantee is better than that. Yeah. A lot of this dude here was Ryan Leaf.
It's got to be better than Burrow's first start.
What about Herbert? We got to look up. Give me 3 touchdowns. I know we got to go to break, but we got to look up. You know what? If you want to do it that way, I want to look up Herbert's first start. I want to look up Burrow's first start. We might need to go back to RG3 and Andrew Luck's first start. If you want to go first starts, I can play this game with you to see if you want to get excited.
His first start was against the Chiefs. Remember, they almost won that game. Bro, Herbert's been good, man. 311 yards, a touchdown, an interception. His passer rating was 94. Like, he had a good debut against the best team in the NFL, the Super Bowl champs. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with 300 yards, a couple touchdowns, no interceptions. Like, that to me would be a great first start. Come out, couple hundred yards, couple touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and just look like you're in command. Like, you know what you're doing out there.
Solana, I kind of like this. Leading up to the Rams game with Tua, I like looking at Hall of Famers' first starts and good players and great players and under average players and average players in their first – if your first start means something. I'm intrigued by this, bro. I'm going to do some research this break.
Some people texted in – Solana, you also had the Heat coming back from 3-1 against LeBron and AD. I did, but to be fair, I looked pretty good after game 5. I looked real good about that prediction after game 5. Somebody else says, I remember exactly what street I was driving on when Solana predicted about Tyler Hero. And I was right about that too, Crowder. I was right about that too.
You know what? But his tattoos have killed you now because he has fourth grade tattoos.
Yeah. All right. You can have another chance to win the new Nest Audio from Google. Stay tuned. That's coming up next on Hawk and Crowder.
Olive branch under your nipple. Who wants an olive branch under their nipple?
Do you feel the same? Will it make it easier?
Talking a lot of football today, Crowder, for good reason, obviously, but there's been some headlines about the Miami Heat over the weekend. Some of Pat Riley's words got twisted. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not.
What got twisted?
Well, Dan, I think I sent you the audio. We'll listen to it here in a second. But Pat Riley and Crowder, we played Pat Riley's press conference. I think that was on Friday. And the press conference from the start was kind of a disaster because it was supposed to start at 1. They couldn't get his Zoom call working until like 1:45. And then it like leaked into our show. So we aired some of it during the Hawk and Crowder show in the first segment. And a part that we were airing, I remember, where he talks about the Lakers winning a championship. He credits them. But then he says something along the lines of, you know, there will always be that asterisk. And he said that, and we're going to play the audio here. So you'll hear the full context of what he said, but it got taken out of context. Everybody ran the story. I got notifications from Bleacher Report, ESPN, CBS, Yahoo. Everybody ran the story that Pat Riley said LeBron James and the LA Lakers championship will have an asterisk next to it because, you know, what the storylines have been, which are COVID and in the bubble. And remember, before the Heat were even in the finals, everybody was talking about the winner this year. Will there be an asterisk next to the win because of you know, the unprecedented circumstances? So the second he even says that word, you know everybody's jumping at the opportunity. Kurt Heelan got torched on Twitter by Heat fans, by Heat Twitter, because he ran the same story, which was Pat Riley calls the Lakers championship and says it has an asterisk next to it.
Don't make me go back and do that because, you know, I'll think about it, you know, all winter and lament, if only. And sometimes that's what you're dealt in the NBA finals, and you got to try to find a way to overcome. If we had maybe more veterans or another player, you know, we had a lot of young guys that all of a sudden really had to step up and do double time and double down on their games and their performances. And so it's not easy. But yes, I'd like to see what it would be like with everybody whole. But, you know, we'll get that shot again. And I'm just so proud of what our guys did. And we didn't, I'll tell you another thing. You know, the narrative about the end, the Lakers were great. They were a great team. And they have the greatest player in the game today in LeBron and Anthony Davis and a cast of, you know, real veteran players that knew what to do at those moments. So, you know, they beat us fair and square. They were the best team. But, you know, there's always going to be that asterisk, that caveat. You know, if we had Bam and Gorn was our leading scorer in the playoffs at 100%, you know, could have gone to the seventh game, you know, and or whatever. But thank you for reminding me to get the best win. I appreciate that.
That was Tobin.
I'm not going to look back on it. I'm just going to look at all the positive things and get Gorin healthy and Bam healthy and bring everybody back and try to add to the mix.
Yeah, so that was Tobin who asked him the question. So first and foremost, Brennan Tobin making Pat Riley go viral in probably not the way that the Heat want. And then, so on Sunday, yesterday, Riley clarified the statement. He said that the term asterisk only applied to the Heat rather than the Lakers. I knew that was going to happen, though. The second he said that, you knew what the national narrative was going to be, which was Pat Riley complaining about the Lakers championship and trying to devalue what they accomplished. But when you hear that, right, Crowder, like as a person who has no biases, when you hear the full context, you understand what he's trying to say.
I do understand what he's trying to say. And Riley was trying to say, and the Godfather, the big man, and I love the way he talks. He's so eloquent. And even we ask him about free agency, he says, yeah, I will hunt, not orca hunt, but I choose and pick my spaces to whale hunt or hunt. Like, he is a wordsmith, and it's why he's so great as an executive, because they have to be wordsmith. They can tell you what they want to tell you, but not show you their hand. It's a game. It's a dance that they play with the media. But once he said, and that is an asterisk, the thing that got problem was there's an asterisk. If he would have said any other word than asterisk, it would have been okay. But I'm with him. I would want to see a fully powered Bam, healthy Gorin, but Jimmy Butler, Buckets, Hero, Duncan, Crowder, everybody wants to see that. And everybody would want to see that, and that series would have been different if that happened. If he would have left the word asterisk out of it, I think it would not have been a story, Solana. I swear 100%. Once you say asterisk, that means that you're going to say, oh, yeah, it doesn't count. It's right. not legit. There's something else to it. The word that he involved is why he got criticized. But if anybody in the NBA world, to finish, if anybody in the NBA world did not want to see a fully healthy Heat team versus a fully healthy Lakers team, you don't like basketball.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, and by the way, really quickly, because I forgot to do this, if you're listening to the Joe, 560 the Joe, WQAM is giving you a chance to win the new Nest Audio from Google. Text the keyword DELIVER to 20357 for your chance to win. Get the latest sports news from the Joe with a little help from Google. Just say, hey, Google, play WQAM. Your chance to win is now. Text DELIVER, DELIVER, to 20357. Message and data rates may apply. You're so right. But Crowder, I don't like the fact that he had to come out and clarify a statement and kind of release a statement basically saying, you know, that's not what I meant. Like, hey, he's a godfather. He's Pat Riley. He doesn't have to clarify any statement, especially when there was nothing to clarify. Like, this was just taken out of context, which is what the media does. They saw a story. I'm sure it was on the jump today on NBA. Like, they wanted to frame it as Pat Riley being salty that he lost to LeBron James in the finals. Because going into the finals, those were the storylines. Does Pat Riley still have bad blood with the way LeBron James left? And, you know, I was doing the whole Petty Chronicles where, like, I'm still upset with the way LeBron James left. And I'm sure Pat Riley has a hint of that, right? Like, I'm sure that still stings him the way LeBron wronged this franchise. But at the end of the day, he's done everything right, which was gave respect to LeBron James. And even there, in his closing remarks of the season, he gave all the respect in the world to LeBron James. He called him the best player in the game. He said they were the best team. Like, he did everything right, except for use one word he probably shouldn't have.
He shouldn't have used asterisk. And that's the whole thing, man. There's champions. There's champions going all the way back to the 50s and 60s. But if you say there's a mark on this championship, you're saying that it doesn't mean as much as Wilt's championships and Magic's championships and Jordan's championships. Like, those championships don't have asterisks on them. And Pat said, and Solana, I know, and we're both Heat fans, you're a way bigger Heat fan than me, Pat made an issue by saying that word, that one word asterisk, where, okay, this championship is different than the other ones that have been going on for decades and decades and decades. If you could ask Pat, sitting down, what does he drink? Probably scotch. I know a lot of rich guys drink scotch.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a scotch guy, yeah.
A single malt kind of guy, for sure.
You sit him down and give him a single malt, 15 years, some of that crazy rich people stuff that I've drunk in the past and didn't know what I was drinking and took it like a shot and they looked at me like I was crazy. But if you sit back with Pat and get him a single malt scotch, he would say to you, only thing I regret saying is the word asterisk, because that means that this championship doesn't mean the same as LeBron in Cleveland, which was amazing, beating the Golden State Warriors, which was the Heat. Yeah. That Heat with Shaq. Nobody thought that Heat with Shaq team was going to be as good as it was because Wade's too young and Shaq is old. But none of those have asterisks on them. Pat said the word that triggers everybody, every writer, every analyst in the world, is that this championship is different than the dozens and dozens of prior and future championships because this happened. And Pat brought that up. So I got to blame that on Pat.
The 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour. That's next here on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Now, what about the McRib at McDonald's? It's a delicacy only a few times a year.
Next question.
What?
Hawk and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.